Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I would have said the day, but I forgot what day it was.
And Chris Ello.
I love last place. All favorite teams reside there. It's true. Look it up.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, welcome everybody to Gwen and Chris on this Wednesday, shortly after 3 o'clock. We do have a three-hour show for you today, and Tony Gwynn Jr. Is working on some POV stuff for his television. He'll be coming in just a little while, so Scraby and I have the show here at the beginning, and I know that you tuned in to talk sports, and you tuned in to have some fun, and we're going to have some fun today. We got a good show lined up for you, but I can't without, you know, totally overlooking it, just mention, you know, what this day means, should mean, should always mean for the rest of time. And everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about, where you were 18 years ago today. It's 9/11, and we should never forget those who lost their lives in that tragedy. We should never forget those first responders who went in and saved so many lives in that tragedy. I'm not a New Yorker, but I do have some family in New York. My uncle worked right next door to the World Trade Center, and he was not at work yet. He had stopped to get his hair cut, but most of the people that worked in his law office that were on that floor, they could see the plane going into the building. They could see the people in the plane. Oh, my God, can you imagine? And most of them wound up getting so much psychiatric help, they never did come back to work at his building. And I went to visit him. Yeah, he was fine. I mean, I went to visit him a few years later, when the World Trade Center was still just a hole in the ground. So that had an impact on me from, you know, all the way across the country. I know it had a bigger impact on many, many more people. And I can't, in all consciousness, jump into a 9/11 show and not mention it. So I wanted to get that out of the way, get that in. We should all be taking a moment to thank our lucky stars and remember the people who perished as part of that national tragedy. All right. Having said that, see, I'm silly to talk about how happy we are that the Padres won a baseball game, but it doesn't hurt to win a ball game. It was a walk-off walk last night to beat the Cubs. But, you know, I honestly want to take everybody through what happened at the end of the game last night, because I don't know that everybody got the – if you didn't stay up that late, I mean, the time the game ended last night, about 11 o'clock, 11:15.
Yeah, ended late. It was almost 4 hours.
Almost 4 hour game. So a lot of people didn't see exactly what took place at the very end of that game, but I want to give credit where I think it's due, and I want to give credit to, you're not going to believe this, Andy Green. A thumbs up to Andy Green for helping the Padres win that game last night. I thought some great gamesmanship by the Padre manager right at the very end of the bottom of the 10th inning last night. And here's what happened now. The Cubs and Padres were tied 8-8. Luis Urias singled with one out, and then there was a walk in there to Austin Hedges, so you had two on and one out. And Travis Jankowski was at the plate, and it was a 2-2 count. And the pitch from Steve Cishek was inside, and it moved Jankowski off the plate a little bit. And it was pretty clear, I think, to everybody in the ballpark and anybody watching that the ball did not nick Jankowski's jersey as it went by. However, from where Andy Green was sitting in the Padre dugout, he wasn't 100% sure. So he held up the game for a second and had his guys look at replay. His guys looked at replay, and they decided to challenge the fact that maybe it was a hit by pitch and Jankowski should be awarded first base. The umpires ran in. They put their headsets on. They went, get out of here. That's the worst challenge I've ever seen. It only took 20 seconds for them to decide that the pitch did not hit Jankowski. But here's what happened. Steve Cishek, the pitcher, had to stand on the mound for a good two and a half, three minutes to wait to throw a crucial 3-2 pitch, and he ended up walking Jankowski. And I really think Andy Green was pulling a little gamesmanship there on the Cubs. After the game, Andy Green was asked about that. Here's what Andy Green said.
Yeah, basically at that point in time. I just saw it, so I apologize for stalling the game out.
All right, he said he apologized for stalling the game out. Andy, you have nothing to apologize for. I thought it was fantastic, and especially the fact that he did it against the Cubs and Joe Maddon, who would, without hesitation, do the exact same thing if he had the opportunity. Now, this is a wrinkle in the baseball rules. This is why this whole replay thing is a mess. But for you to be able to stop the game right there and ask for a replay challenge that had no chance of winning, that made the pitcher just stand there on the mound and think about his next pitch. And wouldn't you know it, Cishek walked Jankowski, bases loaded. Well, guess who then decided they were going to play their gamesmanship card?
Oh, you think the Cubs did it too?
Oh, absolutely. Joe Maddon came out. Well, here's what he did. He came out, and he now, with the bases loaded and one out, he moved one of his outfielders in to play infield to give him five infielders. But he didn't just do that, because he could have stood on the top step and just yelled out, hey, come on in, bring this guy in, we'll have five in. He walked all the way out to the middle of the field. He talked to the umpire. He told the umpire what he wanted to do. He delayed the game on purpose. And guess what was happening while he was delaying the game? His pitcher, Cishek, who was having trouble throwing strikes, was taking some warm-up tosses, trying to get a lock back in on home plate. I know that Joe Maddon did this on purpose. Then Anthony Rizzo needed to change gloves or something, so that took another minute, gave Cishek another couple of warm-up tosses. So Joe Maddon did the exact same thing, gamesmanship, that I think Andy Green did. But you know who won? Andy Green. Because the next pitcher, the next batter was Margot, and he walked, and the Padres won. So I love that kind of stuff to a certain extent. And, yeah, kudos to Andy Green. You guys are quick to rip him anytime you can, and I'll be right there with you ripping him anytime I can. But not this time. I thought it was a perfect, you know, move. Even if he didn't do it on purpose, like halfway through it, it had to dawn on him, hey, this is working out well for us because their pitcher is standing there getting cold while they look at replay. And as you heard, Andy Green apologized for it after the game. But I don't think he needed to apologize.
I think he apologized with a slight grin, maybe.
I don't know. I couldn't see his face when he said that. I think he was serious about his apology because he didn't want people to think he was making a mockery of the replay system. But it turned out to be just perfect gamesmanship, and I think helped the Padres win that game last night. And Joe Maddon, you know, did his usual gamesmanship on the other side to try and give his pitcher a chance to take some extra warm-up tosses and find home plate. But Cishek couldn't find home plate anyway and walked Margot, and so the Padres win the game. I like it. That's the kind of fun stuff that I'm looking for in a good, long, four-hour baseball game. And it took 4 hours to get to it. So Cubs and Padres will play again tonight. We have a great show for you lined up. And as I said, Tony Gwynn Jr., I want to ask him about the gamesmanship thing when he gets here. He'll be here in about 15, 20 minutes, so just sit tight. Tony's on his way. He had to finish up some work on his POV show for Fox Television. But Tony will be with us throughout the show until 6 o'clock. Bill Williamson NFL writer in his 23rd season, is now also a contributor for Forbes, Oakland Raiders podcast, fan-sided, used to be at ESPN. Bill Williamson knows football as well as anybody, and we've had him on before. We will talk with him about the NFL in week number one. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, Lance Zierlein, NFL draft analyst for NFL.com, hosts a show called The Bench, 97.5 in Houston. If you were with us yesterday, we talked about how the prevent defense needs to be prevented. And we'll talk a little bit about whether the Houston Texans messed up that game the other night against the New Orleans Saints, which I think they did for sure.
We have a surprise caller on the line for you to talk about the gamesmanship a little bit.
Oh, you do, huh?
I do. It's host of the morning show, Mr. Ben Higgins.
Aha! I wonder if Ben and I are thinking along the same lines here. Ben, did you see something similar to what I saw last night, or did you have a different take on it?
Well, I'm pulling into the Channel 10 lot listening to you this afternoon, and it didn't occur to me at all the machinations of both managers. And I just thought, wow, that is a brilliant take on how that game came to an end last night. Like, that is next level. I love that stuff, Chris. That is, insightful and just the kind of stuff that I tune into you for. So thank you.
That is some high praise, Mr. LO.
Wow. Did I remind everybody to listen to Ben and Woods every single morning from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.? Well, thanks, Ben. I was kicking it around with some people in the press box last night, and they were saying, nah, I don't think this is a gamesmanship thing. Look, Andy Green's never going to admit it, but I honestly think what happened, Ben, was he decided to challenge, and then as it was happening, realized, hey, this is working out well for us. And on the other side, I pretty much am sure Joe Maddon did what he did, because that's what Joe Maddon always does. He's always looking for an edge. But
all I was thinking about was that when I finished my late news and got in the car, we were still on doing the post-game show. And I think, wow, that's a late night for Chris when he's still on later than I am.
Man, that is rare that I'm later than you. That is definitely
enjoyed some Chris Ello on my way home. That is very rare.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey, you guys are doing a great job in the mornings, and congratulations from our show to your show. The ratings, top five in the morning already, Ben and Woods. You guys haven't even been here a month hardly, and you're taking over the town. So keep up the great work, Ben, and thanks for checking in, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chris. And tell Tony that I do TV and it doesn't cause me to miss my show. So
yes!
All right, yes. I will tell him. I will pass that along when he gets... He's probably listening on his way in. I'll tell him.
I love that.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Ben Higgins right there from the Ben and Woods Morning Show. Very nice words from Ben there. Appreciate that. All right. We have come to our first break of the afternoon. When we come back, I have a bone to pick with Scraby.
I'm sorry?
Oh, yes, I do. And you better be ready for this one, because I have ammunition loaded up and ready to attack.
What?
Yep.
Honestly have no idea what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what other than that's the way I like it. I am having a bone pick with Scraby. It's coming up now. Oh, no. You should applaud. It's coming up when we come back. I'll tell you all about it when we return, and then Tony should be here shortly. Getting underway with a little Gwen and Chris action here on a Wednesday. Let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Gwen and Chris on a beautiful Wednesday in San Diego, California. 3:22 is the time. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be jumping on here shortly. But I did mention going out in the last segment that I had a bone to pick with you, Scraby.
Yeah, what is this all about?
Well, I didn't understand how you got a vote on PGA Tour Player of the Year. Because that's the only way I can imagine how Rory McIlroy could beat out Brooks Koepka for that award this year. You've got to be kidding me.
That is the highest honor, is your peers voting for you to be the best golfer of the year.
That is, the golfers are dumber than I thought they were.
They are not, because it's the right choice. Well, I've been telling you this since the beginning.
I know that you're going to think that, but we'll talk about it a little later in the
All
Big
right.
Five. But
yes.
Brooks Koepka, who had one of the greatest seasons any golfer has ever had in the history of major championship golf.
He won one major this year. One.
I said he had one of the greatest seasons, and I will back that up later.
All right.
But the fact that McIlroy was chosen by his peers as player of the year tells me that somehow you snuck in with a couple of votes, or you messed around with the computer. Because that's the only way that could have worked out.
4:30 p.m., the Big Five. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it in the Big Five. All right, Mr. Gwynn Jr.
What'd I miss?
Here. Not too much. Yeah, actually you did. You missed quite a bit to kick things off. How are you, first of all?
I'm good.
Good.
How you doing?
All right. I'm good, and we talked a little bit about, and I know you echo these sentiments before the show really got into it. Took a moment to remember everybody affected by 9/11, and I'm going to just say it one more time, but we are not doing this show without that on our minds today. I brought up the end of the game last night, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this as a baseball player. I thought, whether it was intentional or not, that Andy Green out-gamesmanshipped your buddy Joe Maddon at the very end of that game last night.
How so?
And here's how so. Because when there was runners at first and second in the bottom of the 10th inning, and Jankowski was batting, and he took that inside pitch, I think everybody knew there's no way that hit his jersey. That wasn't a hit by pitch. But Andy Green called for a review. And in doing so, the umpires ran over, did their little headset thing, said, "Pah! That's a terrible review. It's obvious it didn't hit him." It only took about 30 seconds to say, "No, the call stands." But while all that was going on, that meant that the Cub pitcher, Steve Cishek, had to just stand there on the mound waiting to throw a crucial 3-2 pitch on an evening that he was having trouble throwing strikes. And I think that was a little gamesmanship by Andy Green. Now, I want you to hear what Andy said after the game before you comment, because here he was asked about it after the game, and here's what he said.
Yeah, basically at that point in time. I just saw it, so I apologize for stalling the game out.
Okay, so he apologized, and I think he was sincere with his apology for, quote, stalling the game out. But I think it was one of those things that just worked out perfectly. Because Cishek had to, and I can tell you as a pitcher, you got the 3-2 pitch coming up in that situation. You don't want to stand there for 2 minutes.
No. Well, if you're giving Andy credit, you got to give Travis Jankowski, because he's the one who turned to the dugout and said, "Check it."
Okay.
And I think what happened
was, give Travis some credit too, then.
When the ball went in, I think who was catching at that point?
Contreras was in.
Yeah. His glove, as he goes to get the ball, I think it hits Jankowski's chest. So he thinks, he's like, "I'm not." You could tell he's like, he's not sure if it was the ball or the glove. But in that situation, why not?
Absolutely.
On top of that, Cishek was having some tough time with location.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad call, you know. Even if you don't get anything out of it from the actual review,
right?
As you said, a pitcher who's having problems with control and having to stand out there and think about having no control worked in the Padres' favor.
It did. Now, we also have to mention that, because I mentioned it a little earlier, but right after he walked Jankowski, now the bases were loaded, then Joe Maddon went for his gamesmanship. Because you know your friend, old Joe. He's going to do anything he can. And what did he do? He brought an outfielder in to give himself five infielders.
As he's done a few times this year.
And he also brought Anthony Rizzo in to change gloves. And he also went out to the home plate umpire, C.B. Buckner, to talk to him about whatever it was he wanted to talk to him about. All the while he was doing that, Cishek was taking warm-up tosses. Now, I very rarely have seen a pitcher be allowed to take warm-up tosses during an inning just because a manager is talking to an umpire. But I believe that Joe Maddon did that on purpose as well, to give his pitcher a chance to find the strike zone. So I just think there was gamesmanship on both sides there, and Andy Green has nothing to apologize about. He got the win, didn't work for old Joe last night, And the Padres had a kind of a fun win when it was all said and done.
Yeah, Rizzo had to change glove because he was no longer playing first base. He is an illegal glove once he is not playing first base. They move him to second. He's a longer body. Try to maybe keep knock something down, keep it in front. But the gamemanship part comes in when he starts having the conversation with C.B. Buckner.
That's right.
And that's what allows
and
the
allows
extra
his pitcher to warm up. I mean, because that's exactly what C-Sheck needed right there, was a few warm-up throws to try and find
apparently
home plate.
Not. Apparently
yes,
not.
It didn't work. It didn't work for Joe, and it ended up working out for Andy Green. So the Padres get the game last night. That all was kind of a fun way to finish it off. All right, we have a lot, as I mentioned on the show today. We're going to talk some football next with Bill Williamson, contributor of Forbes now, used to be with ESPN, fan-sided, Oakland Raiders podcaster, just all-time NFL guy. He's been covering the NFL for 23 years. So looking forward to talking with Bill when we come back. And we'll have some Chris versus the fans coming up, your opportunity to win some prizes. So stick around for all that. We'll let Tony get settled in here nicely. And we'll step aside, pay some bills, and then come back with more. Gwynn and Chris until 6 o'clock on your home for the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gwynn and Chris, triple threes on a Wednesday, 3:33 of the time.
I like what you did there.
I did too. It just came out of nowhere.
Triple threes.
I got excited for the triple P later.
Hey, in my head, I was thinking to myself, do we have PPP?
I'm upset that I brought it up now. Countdown's coming up later in the show as well. It'll be the top five baseball movies as requested yesterday. We'll let Scraby make his case again for Rookie of the Year as the greatest baseball movie ever made. But that's much later. Right now, Gwynn and Chris want to get into a little NFL talk, and I can't think of a guy better to talk with about the National Football League, the Oakland Raiders, the West Coast football. NFL writer for 23 seasons, Bill Williamson, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Bill, how you been?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
We're doing really well. Thank you so much. And well, let's just start right there with the Raiders, because I think they've been a, you know, not just the Hard Knocks team, but I think they've been one of the key stories so far early in the season, and how they handled Antonio Brown. And looking back now at how they played in week one, excuse me, Monday night, I got to believe that John Gruden did a masterful job, as I would expect him to do, of kind of just rallying all the troops together and say, hey, it's a little bit of us versus them. Antonio doesn't want to be here. Let's show him that we can get it done without him.
Yeah, I think John Gruden did a really good job from about Saturday morning through the night of the win. Great job by him. Great win. They were better than all phases than people thought, including him. I mean, he had not a great season on the sideline last year, but I thought he was really good. I thought he outcoached Vic Fangio by a long shot on Monday. But remember, on Thursday morning, Friday morning rather, John Gruden picked Antonio Brown over Mike Mayock. He picked the player over his GM, and then the player continued to be what he was doing and blew it up, and then it all ended on Saturday. But on Friday morning, John Gruden had to apologize to the players. I think people forget that. It worked out well. This is probably what should have happened. But Gruden made an unusual choice on Friday morning, and it ended up he got a second chance. And Antonio Brown continued to do whatever he was doing. I don't know how to explain what he was doing. So it was what.
I don't think anybody does, Bill.
So it worked out for the Raiders. The players believe in them, and the Raiders right now are in a real good spot, and good for them.
Bill, I want to ask you a little bit about Tyrell Williams. I had the opportunity to be around him when he was here in San Diego during the offseason working out. Can he be a number one receiver? Because, I mean, he sort of looked good against a pretty good secondary in Denver.
Well, I'm not going to say he can't be after what he did on Monday night. I mean, he was one of the guys that really stepped up. I mean, you know, he was probably an above average number two going into this season, and all of a sudden he became the number one, and he had six catches, 105 yards. So, yeah, I'm not going to say he can't be. I mean, he was one of the top storylines, and he had a really good camp. You know, Antonio Brown rarely practiced this summer, and Terrell Williams was the number one for most of the summer, so, and he had a good camp. So let's see what he can do.
Bill Williamson is with us talking some NFL football and even more good news for the Raiders in the sense that they are facing the Chiefs this week at home, but the Chiefs will be without Tyreek Hill. He'll probably be out for a few more weeks. What are you thinking about the Chiefs right now without Tyreek Hill? It didn't seem to matter too much to them in Jacksonville the other day, but Jacksonville lost their quarterback right in the middle of that game. I think Tyreek Hill is a pretty big part of what the Chiefs want to do, like to do, and with a whole week to scheme against this offense, any chance that the Raiders can slow them down now?
You know, I'm a real big fan of that Kansas City offense, with or without Hill. You know, they drafted the kid Hardman in the second round because they thought that Hill wasn't going to be around because of his off-field issues. Hill got hurt in late first, early second, I believe, against Jacksonville, and the Chiefs still, you know, didn't miss a beat. I just think Patrick Mahomes is special. I think Andy Reid is a special play caller. I think those two are really special together, and they got some good pieces around them. So, yeah, the Chiefs would be really dangerous with Hill, but just fine dangerous without him for a few weeks at least.
Bill, I want to talk about on the defensive side of ball with the Raiders, and the guy who stood out the most to me in Hard Knocks was Jonathan Abrams. He couldn't resist popping guys and putting them on the ground. Sounds like he's only going to get one game this year, and it sounds like he's going to have rotator cuff surgery. How does that affect this defense? Because it seems now they're able to get some pressure on the quarterback, which I would assume open up some opportunity for the secondary.
Yeah, you know, Abrams had the mentality that you want from a young player and a safety, and that type of player can really change a defense.
Yeah,
just from the anchor spot and from a culture spot. You know, a nasty look at the great defenses over the years, and you usually have a nasty safety back there. And I think that kid, you know, has a chance to be. I don't know if I want to say he has a chance to be special, but I think he has a chance to be really good, and then take it from there. Had a start, was really being who he is, kind of an alpha player, you know. And he was making hits on guys with his other shoulder after he got hurt, you know, in the first half. Mm. So the Raiders are going to miss him this year, but feel pretty good about the future that they got that pick right.
I'd say they did. I'd say he's a pretty tough kid, played the entire game with a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah.
Nobody even knew about it. Bill Williamson is with us. Speaking of injuries, Chargers got some bad news today. And tight end Hunter Henry, tibia fracture to his left knee during the game against the Colts on Sunday, so they'll be without him for a good couple of months. Of course, they were without him most of last year. Obviously, they're still missing Melvin Gordon, and I don't know, where does this leave the Chargers' offense? Does it hurt in any way? I think it would.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away a dimension, but they play without him. You know, I've covered the Chargers a long time, you know, do my AFC thing at ESPN, and I talked to Philip Rivers about this a lot, and he just, you know, they adjust. Sadly, they're used to it. I there's not a team in the NFL that I can think of that year in and year out for so many years in a row has such devastating injuries as the Chargers. I mean, this thing, you know, everybody, the bus stops for everybody. But, I mean, the Chargers are on the injury route every year, and it's too bad. I mean, but I think this is a team that knows it, and they don't fret about it, and they just move on. And like you said, they were about him basically the entire year last year, and they won 12 games. So, yeah, they'll be better with him, but I think they can survive without him. I think they're a group of survivors on, Philip Rivers on down.
I think the phrase you said best there in describing the Chargers is they are an organization that moves on. We can all identify with what you mean here in San Diego.
I understand it. Yes. I talk about the Chargers very carefully when I'm in San Diego.
Yes, all of us, man. We talk and then duck.
Yeah.
Hey, one last thing before we let you go, Bill, since we're in the AFC West, John Elway in Denver. It's 1 week, and it's obviously Joe Flacco didn't play very well the other night, but it seemed like there was a little squabbling about Elway prior to the start of this season. I mean, ever since Peyton Manning is gone, Denver has gone in the wrong direction. What's John Elway's future in Denver? Is there anything to read into the fact that if they have another poor year, that Elway's stay there could be a little bit in jeopardy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly the feel nationally and maybe some in the fan base. But in that building, it's a different story. He's John Elway. And, you know, and he did bring him a Super Bowl. And they went to the Super Bowl twice in his reign. So he, a lot better than a lot of people in the last 8 years. So I don't think it's as bad as it seems because, again, they have a Super Bowl ring in his and they have Von Miller. And he's the guy that got Peyton Manning. I think the thing that hurts him is, you know, the quarterbacks after Peyton Manning. And you know what? If they stink this year and they finish in the top five, he's probably going to get more time because this is going to be a pretty good quarterback draft class. And if they get the right quarterback, then they should be fine. So I don't necessarily think this is going to be his last year. I think what stood out to me about that game. What, not Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco was what I thought he was going to be. When they traded for him, I'm like, what are they doing, you know? I just don't see him being an answer. But I thought Vic Fangio was going to have an instant impact on that defense. And it wasn't a bad defense. And there's, like I said, there's a Hall of Famer on that defense and a young stud and Bradley Chubb. Defense didn't get anything done against the Broncos. Vic Fangio, a brilliant defensive coordinator over the years, really struggled as a head coach that first game. So that's what sticks out to me, is that Vic Fangio has to get it together. And again, it was only one game, and he has certainly time. But I thought that defense was going to give Oakland a lot more trouble than it did. So that was kind of what stuck out to me from that game, not necessarily John Elway.
You got it. Hey, Bill, great stuff as always. Always good catching up with you. We'll look forward to talking with you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Anytime, guys. See ya.
All right, Bill Williamson right there on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. And low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. All right, it's time for you to call in now. Get ready for a little Chris versus the fans. The phone number is 833-288-0973. You want to take a shot? Play some trivia, and the winner today is going to get a couple of tickets to see the Padres take on the Arizona Diamondbacks on Saturday, September 21st. And hopefully, if you win those tickets, you'll do exactly what our previous winner this week said he was going to do with those tickets.
What was that? What did he say?
He said he was going to go to the game and yell at Bob Brenly.
That's right. He did say that.
So you're more than welcome to.
I think that was Joey.
Joey was the Bob Brenly hater. Well,
yes.
I'll tell you one thing. He's not alone. anyway, the Padres Diamondback tickets, Saturday, September 21st is the game. And I just wanted one more thing here on September 21st to let you know about 97.3 The Fan and myself. I'm going to be down there as well, so I hope you'll join us. It's September 21st, the American Heart Association San Diego Heart and Stroke Walk. And we will save some lives. You want to check out some information on all that, go to sdheartwalk.org. That's sdheartwalk.org. It's going to be at Balboa Park on Saturday morning, September the 21st. I hope you'll take part in that. Come down and say hello. I will be there, and we will be there here from 97.3 The Fan. All right, so let's
go. If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Do I dare say what I'm about to say?
I don't know.
What are you about to say?
What I'm about to say is I recognize several of the names on our trivia caller list today, which I appreciate, and we love it, and you are more than welcome to play Chris versus the Fans any day, but I want a little new blood out there.
Oh, wow.
I want a little new blood.
Wow.
All right? Now, I mean, it looks, most of these people have taken me down, and I've taken them down. So let's,
you have.
So let's get, if you don't be shy.
Don't
come
be
on
shy.
In here and play a little trivia. All you can do is miss a question. It's no big deal. It's not like we're going to come to our house and take away your firstborn child if you miss a question.
And you can miss all three and still win.
That's so, right.
So that's what I'm saying.
You might totally luck out and win the prize anyway. So let's get some people that have never taken part in Chris versus the Fans. The phone number is 833-288-0973. And the rules are...
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question or win. And someone, you know what's really funny? Sometimes I'll just randomly check my Twitter, and I'll have someone that just says, howdy do.
Howdy
it's
do.
It's great. I love it.
All right, let's get to our first contestant, Jose. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy hump day.
Hump day.
Hey, happy hump day.
All right, here we go. First question. What state did Jets quarterback Sam Darnold grow up in?
I don't know. I'm going to guess California.
I think that's a good guess. California is correct.
Do
nice
you
work.
That one, Chris?
Yeah.
That's what I would have guessed, but I don't
he
see that.
He grew up in San Clemente, I think.
He
I
did.
I see that being a very poor question.
A poor question? The guy grew up like 30 miles from here.
All right, here we go. Second question, Jose. Who caught Deshaun Watson's game-winning touchdown in the national championship against Bama?
No idea, man.
No idea, man, is incorrect. Chris, for the steal.
The Padres right fielder did. Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro is correct. Jose, thanks for competing.
They just did that on Hard Knocks. They talked about that specific play of him beating up on Bama.
Well, Hunter Renfro, to me, has one problem. He's always open.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
I mean, that's
if you're
a
Derek
good
Carr.
Problem if you're the Raiders. I think he's a great pickup, and I have a feeling he's going to have a nice little career.
Did he play well in the first game? I didn't really get
he
to
had
see
a little, he had a little run. I mean, obviously, he wasn't the go-to guy. Right. I'd have to look at the stats here, but I know he caught a couple of balls.
He did.
But look, to me, and I know John Gruden's smart enough to know this, Renfro caught two passes for 13 yards Monday night, but he can put him in a ball game and tell him to go get open, and this kid will get open. So I'm almost sure of it, and I'm pretty sure John Gruden's aware of that as well. So see what kind of career he has, but I think it's going to be a good one.
They did my man Hunter kind of foul in the team meeting when they put his body up on the screen.
That was kind of cold.
Honestly,
he doesn't look like your typical wide receiver. No
a
doubt.
Little surprised that the NFL player was looking doughy.
He did look a little doughy.
Yeah, Hunter's got to carve that body up a little bit.
All right, Jackson in San Diego, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Hump Day. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gwen.
Let's get
first
to this.
Time caller.
All right. There's some
luck.
Of that new blood you were talking. Here we go. First question.
Let's go.
Woo. What team originally drafted Christian Yelich?
Excellent. I'm going to say the Marlins.
I'm going to say that's correct. Nice
Good
work.
Good start, Jackson.
Thank you.
Good start.
All right.
Well, my phone's at 5%, so.
For question number two.
Hurry up, Tony. He's only got one bar left.
NBA player Greg Oden. Greg Oden finished his career with what team?
Woo. All right. Not one of my top sports. Give me 5 seconds.
Five.
Four.
Three. Two. One.
Oh, man. All right. Sorry in advance. Los Angeles Lakers.
The Los Angeles Lakers are incorrect.
Stay there.
Stay there. Don't go anywhere, Jackson, because I have to get I have to get it right for you to be eliminated.
It sounds like a tough one.
It is a tough one, because I really didn't follow much of Greg Oden's career after
you
he
didn't?
Wasn't
no,
really a reason
I wasn't
to
too
it.
Interested in where he finished up. So it's just a guess to say the Pelicans. I have no idea.
The New Orleans Pelicans is incorrect.
And the beauty of the game. Ooh.
Jackson, you move on to round number three.
What was the answer?
The correct answer is the Miami Heat.
Okay.
All right. Last And final question.
Jackson could be a winner in his first appearance.
I'm stoked.
What team selected Cliff Kingsbury in 2003 of the NFL draft?
Oh, my God. You guys won't believe this, but I ran into his rookie card like 5 days ago.
What?
Let me dig deep.
Let me dig deep.
I don't even believe it.
Four.
I don't even believe it.
Three, two, one. We need an answer.
You got it. Let me say the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals is actually a team that he coaches, and they did not draft him.
Did anybody else think that he was just going to yell out the right team there?
I thought he had it. Yeah, I thought he had it. All right. Boy, I don't remember. He was Texas Tech's quarterback. I know that. Boy.
Stay there, Jackson.
Yeah, stay there, Jackson. You're going to – this might work out very nicely.
I'm hanging in there. I'm sweating it.
He's hanging in there. Yeah, because he knows I am capable of having, like, some crazy thought pop into my head at the last second. I don't have one this time, though. Dallas.
Dallas is incorrect. Jackson, you're a winner.
Jackson's a winner in his first
time. The correct
time.
Answer, fittingly, is the New England Patriots.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
He won a Super Bowl.
Never got that. All right, stay on the line, Jackson.
Congratulations,
and
Jackson.
And Thomas, pick him up quick because he's running out of steam on his phone. Good job by Jackson. He wins in a... See, that's what can happen if you're a...
Brand new blood.
Brand new blood, and I might miss a couple questions. That's what happened there. Jackson takes it down.
You know, the Greg Oden question, Thomas and I were getting into it before the show, and we were trying to determine whether or not injuries make you a bust. If you have a lot of injuries, are you a bust?
Yes.
And I would say no, because you're not allowed to you're not able to prove what you can do.
The bust is based off of where you're picked. And if
he was number one overall.
He was number one overall. So based on production and where he got picked, you'd have to say he was a bust.
Yeah. I agree with Tony, number one. Number two, there's a couple of other things that go into whether or not you can be a bust. Another Portland center that was picked number two was Sam Bowie. He was injured throughout his entire career.
Had a long career, too.
Had a long injury-filled career. But he will always go down as a bust because...
Who was drafted in,
because Jordan was drafted after him. Well, and that was not his fault at all.
Yeah, not his fault
That wasn't at all. Ever his fault at all, but he will always be a bust. Sam Bowie, and that's totally not fair in that regard. I know what you're saying, Scraby. If you're hurt, you can't play, but...
Because he did do some okay things on the court when he did play.
I don't recall them.
There you go. If you're a first pick in the draft, we should be able to recall.
Yeah, I think he averaged like 11 points and a couple rebounds.
I don't think you spent a number one pick on 11 points. And
the court of public opinion, you're going to lose on that one.
Yeah.
Even though if you think it through the
your
way you are.
Your heart's in the right place, though.
Yeah,
for some reason, I wanted to back up Mr. Oden.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of guys that have never gotten it done because of injury. And then there's a lot of guys who just can't get it done. But I think they all go down as busts, right?
Yep.
So
that's funny you said brought up Sam Bowie, because that was going to be the next one after I mentioned Greg Oden, was that he actually had a long career.
Yeah.
You know, he played well into the double digits of his career, but, you know, he was not, I mean, he didn't put up numbers like a number one pick.
You know, it's also kind of interesting. I'm thinking of the word busts, and I don't mean it to, don't take this the wrong way. Anna Kournikova, the tennis player, was always considered a bust as a tennis player because she came up as one of the top-ranked teenagers, and she became famous for her looks more than her tennis, and she never won a tournament. So because of that, she was a bust. So there's a lot of different things that go into how it can happen to you. If you actually look at Anna Kournikova's career, she made the Wimbledon semifinals once, was once ranked number 7 in the world. That's pretty good.
Really
but
good.
If you ask anybody what kind of tennis player was, they'll say, oh, she was terrible.
People feel some type of way because she got way more pub because of how pretty she was.
Mm-hmm. And she was like married to or dating Enrique Iglesias.
So they're married.
Yeah, they were married.
Are they still married?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
They are.
I'm going to go get caught up on my latest on Anna Kournikova over
you
here.
You got to work on that.
I figured you lived in TMZ, so I didn't think you would know that stuff.
Her and Enrique haven't been making TMZ lately.
Touché.
Which is good for that.
Yeah, good news for Anna Kournikova. All right. Show's never hurting when you bring Anna Kournikova. Yeah,
the
can't
only
go
show
wrong.
Here in this town that's going to be talking Anna Kournikova.
You can't go wrong. Well, you want to? What do you want to talk about? Antonio Brown and his mess. Ugh.
Not really.
I'm so tired of that whole story. Messy story.
Let's talk NCAA next.
NCAA?
Yeah.
All right, I can do that.
They got some grievance. They got a grievance right now with, this, with taking, the state of California.
Yeah, exactly. That's so weird.
State of California versus the NCAA.
Indeed.
I don't know who to root against in that one. Gwen and Chris, hour number two, coming right up on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.